It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at a bunch of places, including Baseball Prospectus and the Hardball Times. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and you can find me in the Spotify green room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. The Yankees pulled out a win last night. It was an exciting one in extra innings. Could have been a frustrating loss. They turned it into an exciting win, thank goodness. I'll also be previewing the upcoming four-game series that begins in Fenway Park tonight against the Red Sox and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Right as I was getting ready to record this show, I was doing my normal testing of the mic and making sure the volume was okay. And I could tell I was recording, but I couldn't hear anything, and I was worried because I still have my old computer, my new one's arriving tomorrow, and I thought, uh-oh, here we go. It's the last day I'm using this thing, and it's gonna, you know, crap out on me. Yeah, I had my headphones plugged into my microphone, and I wasn't wearing my headphones, which is why I couldn't hear anything. Then I realized I was hearing myself very faintly and couldn't figure out where it was coming from, and then I looked and realized that it was coming from the headphones, and that there actually isn't anything wrong with my computer right now. I should knock on wood. There we go. To not jinx it right now. So I thought that was funny, especially for a Thursday. That feels more like a Monday thing, so I don't know what's happening with me today. So anyway, let's get into it. Let's discuss last night's game, because last night's game really had the opportunity to be one of those games that makes you angry that you sat through it and makes you angry that the Yankees screwed up, because they've had a bunch of those games this season. Actually, first, let's discuss this. Yesterday, I did a flashback to a game on July 21st, 2006. The Yankees lost to the Blue Jays, and the only runs they scored were on an Alex Rodriguez home run. Well, it turns out that that home run was his 450th career home run and his 2000th hit. And it's funny because I was going through Instagram and I saw the clip of him. You know, there was a close-up on his face at the plate, and I thought, wait, I remember this, because I remember him hitting a milestone home run in Toronto. So I thought it was funny that that clip came up because I happened to talk about the game because it's a 15-year thing. So yeah, his 2000th hit and his 3000th hit were home runs. That's pretty cool. Anyway, last night's game, home runs. There were some by the Yankees. Gleyber Torres hit another home run. He's up to 6. I told you, he was starting to hit the ball in the air. Things are getting better for him. He's looking a lot better. Odor hit another home run. It was number 11 on the year. His bat flip is just, it cracks me up so much because, you know, he'll run into one every once in a while, and then the majority of the time he doesn't look that great. Although I saw some numbers last night, and he's been doing well lately, and he's picking things up lately. Like, his OPS is pretty good over a certain stretch that I can't remember the exact numbers. So it's not like he's been his normal self. He's been doing a little better of late. But the Yankees overall, LeMahieu was back after his stomach bug. He had a hit. Stanton had a big hit, two out RBIs. Sorry, RSBI. Actually, let's see. I think, looking at this, every Yankees starter had a hit. No, Tyler Wade. Damn it. Tyler Wade screwing up. Oh, yes. This is what I wanted to talk about. And I said this on Twitter last night. Tyler Wade needs to learn how to bunt. Tyler Wade would be so much more useful if he learned how to bunt. You're fast. You can run this stuff out. What are you doing? You're the exact type of player who should be bunting when the Yankees need it and not popping out when you bunt or making outs otherwise when you bunt or striking out when you're trying to bunt. Any kind of stupid thing like that. You're the perfect player to be bunting in any situation. No one's expecting Tyler Wade to hit home runs. They want you to get on base because you're fast. And bunting will get you on base because you're fast. Learn how to do that, sir. Greg Allen had a stolen base. Florial had a stolen base. This stuff is helping the Yankees. Small ball kind of thing, where these guys are actually running on the bases and doing things and creating situations for the Yankees to score. This is what they needed. I guess they needed the injection of youth from Scranton to get things going for them. It's not the perfect situation because you're missing a lot of important players because of the whole COVID thing, but these guys are playing, I think it was Stanton who said, these guys are playing like it's their last game and they're trying to do as much as possible. And they're actually contributing and helping the Yankees win. The Yankees are 9-3 in their last 12. That includes two series wins, one over Boston, one over Houston. And now they're heading into Boston kind of on a roll. They didn't drop the last game of a series, probably because it was only a two-game series. They didn't get that third game in because of the schedule. Obviously, that's how it was scheduled. But if it was a three-game series, who knows what the last game would have been like for the Yankees. Quickly, let's talk about last night's pitching. Asher Wojciechowski called up to pitch. Four innings, two runs on three hits, three walks, one strikeout, and he gave up a home run to McCutchen. No, Segura. Sorry, McCutchen hit a double off Wojciechowski. So did Bryce Harper. So not terrible. And, you know, the Yankees weren't expecting, I don't think they were expecting much from Asher Wojciechowski. Then Albert Abreu came in, Justin Wilson, Zach Britton, who had big problems, Nick Nelson, doing Nick Nelson things. Aroldis Chapman not giving up a run in his one inning of work.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And then Brooks Kreisky getting the win because he happened to be pitching the 10th inning and didn't let the Phillies score with the Manfred man on. So, hey, that works. But Zach Britton, oh, two walks, two earned runs, three runs overall, because the Phillies scored three in that eighth inning off Britton. Just not good at all. He hasn't looked good since he's come back from the IL. Something's up with him. In a moment, I'll have more thoughts about last night's game, and then we'll start the preview of the four-game series against Boston in Fenway. But first, today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, which is the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches, and nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Yankees listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, $1. Go to fullyloadedchew.com and use our promo code Locked On. That's just $1 and free shipping if you use the code Locked On at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew. Go to fullyloadedchew.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, but choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. You can explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. After last night's game, Giancarlo Stanton had some thoughts about how the Yankees have been doing of late and the kids' contributions to those wins, and here's what he had to say.
Giancarlo, what did you think of Ryan Lamar's approach and at-bat there, obviously, to win it?
It was awesome. I mean, all he needs is one swing, and I think he did a good job, you know, making sure he stayed inside the ball, didn't get a ground ball that they were hoping for, and just get it far enough out there that Gary could score either way.
How difficult is that to do, to step in a situation like that after you've been sitting cold on the bench all game?
That's tough, especially a game that, I think it's about 4 hours already too. So, it's tough to keep it locked in and be ready to go in that situation. But, he did a great job and came up huge for us.
Since the break, this team, pretty much a different roster, a lot of adversity, but you guys have found ways to win. What do you think it is about this group that seems to get it done?
Everyone's hungry, scrappy. We're getting it done in different ways than we're accustomed to. So it's good. It's good to get a new look and some guys in here just, playing like it's their last game every time.
And Carl, do you feel a certain energy from the new players that came up in the past week?
It's a new dynamic. I'd say that, sometimes in these situations, it'll be like one or two will come up, and then, a week later, two more or whatnot. So having them all come together, it's a good little boost, and everyone just leaning on each other. When you all come together in a group, in a core, it's a different energy than sporadic.
Giancarlo, what does it do for you guys winning a game like this and a four straight win as you head to Boston for a big series?
That's a big one. We go back and forth. These are the ones we got to scrape out, and that we've let some go like this. And I think that's a good sign, a good key that we were able to get this one.
Hey, Giancarlo, we've given a lot of attention to the new guys that have come up and made an impact, but in the process, it seems like a lot of other guys in the lineup are chipping in a lot too. Last night with the four home runs, tonight you shortened up to get the go-ahead run in. I mean, do you think it's kind of, I don't know if infectious is the word, or is it just the whole team is just playing much better now too, all around?
The things are clicking, and the energy is obviously different. So I just think, with a bunch of new guys, new looks, the play and things will be different out there. So it's a matter of keeping it rolling on this road trip and keep feeding off of it.
Stanton brought up several good points there. Lamar coming off the bench cold to hit in the bottom of the 10th was a big deal, because that's always a big deal. But as he said, that game was long last night. There was no reason for that game to be as long as it was. It was already 4 hours, and it was just ended already. Most people wanted the game to end, especially the people who were there. I had some friends who were there, and I was, looking at their tweets and laughing at how miserable they were, especially when Britton gave up those runs and the game was tied, and they're just thinking, oh, here we go. I mean, the game could have ended earlier if that hadn't happened, but it was just a very long, back-and-forth, slow game, and for Lamar to come off the base and do get off come off the base come off the bench and do what he did, that shouldn't be overlooked. So the Yankees have won four in a row, and they're heading into Fenway on a high, and they're heading into Fenway to play a very important four-game series against the first-place Red Sox, which will be followed by a three-game series against the second-place Rays. So the Yankees have a tall task ahead of them. And for tonight's game, it will be Jordan Montgomery. You know, the guy the Yankees haven't scored for since June 15th, that guy. He'll be against Tanner Houck. Houck? Is it Houck? In 2021, he's pitched in four games. He's 0-2 with a 3.38 ERA. That's 13 and one-third innings, 15 strikeouts. Overall in his career, he's pitched in seven games. He's 3-2 with a 1.78 ERA and 30 and one-third innings with 36 strikeouts. So, over his last seven games, or over the Red Sox last seven games, he's 0-2 with a 3.38. The last time he pitched was against the Yankees on the 16th, so that was a week ago tomorrow. He pitched three innings, gave up one hit, walked one, struck out three. Oh, he picked up the save. Okay. But before that, he hadn't pitched since April 18th. As for poor Jordan Montgomery, as I said, no run support since mid-June. Overall, he's 3-5 with a 4.18 ERA in 99 innings of work. He has 99 strikeouts. That's kind of fun. Now, over his career, he's 16-15 with a 4.15 ERA in 329 and two-third innings with 318 strikeouts. I feel like Jordan Montgomery is the type of pitcher who is almost there. He has the stuff to be a good pitcher, and it just doesn't work for him sometimes. He'll have one bad inning, or not even a bad inning, just kind of a rough inning. He'll give up two or three runs, but if the Yankees aren't scoring for him, how is he going to pick up any wins? In a moment, I'll preview the rest of the series against the Red Sox. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as baseball is heading into the trade deadline. Some teams will be making moves, some won't, and the division races will be shaping up soon. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Friday night's matchup, Gerrit Cole against Eduardo Rodriguez. Cole had a good game his last time out. Of course, a lot of people will poo-poo it because it was only six innings and the rain ended the game, but he pitched six innings and struck out 11. He was having a good outing, okay? And he probably would have finished up that outing still pitching well, even if there wasn't rain and even if it wasn't shortened to six innings. So thank you so much. Eduardo Rodriguez is 7-5 with a 5.19 ERA in 95 and one-third innings. He has 112 strikeouts. That's over 18 games this season. Erod is one of those pitchers the Yankees either can hit or he stymies them. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night, which version of Erod will show up and which version of the Yankees lineup will show up. Saturday's matchup, Jameson Taillon against Nathan Eovaldi. Taillon is 5-4 with a 4.60 ERA. He's getting better. He's improving. His last few outings have been pretty strong. Still not long enough for my taste. Oh God, that phrasing is so terrible. I apologize. But he's holding teams down. See, that doesn't even sound right. He's preventing teams from scoring too much on him now, which is good. This is what we wanted to see from Jameson Taillon. So if he can do that, and not throw 90 pitches over only five innings. If he could stretch that out to maybe seven innings where he throws 90 pitches and doesn't give up any runs, that would be the Jameson Taillon who would be a worthy number two behind Gerrit Cole. This is the Jameson Taillon the Yankees were hoping to get. Even with that risky Tommy John thing happening, they were hoping that the Jameson Taillon from a few years ago, who pitched for the Pirates, would show up in a Yankees uniform, and it seems like he's starting to. But again, just needs to stretch out those outings a bit. But I liked what I've seen from him his last two or three starts, so if he can keep building upon those starts, that would be a really good thing for the Yankees down the stretch. He'll be facing off, as I said, against Eovaldi, who's 9-5 with a 3.57 ERA. And that is over 19 games. In 108 and one-third innings, he has 106 strikeouts. The Yankees have trouble with him, which is annoying because he's one of those former Yankees who's doing better now that he's not on the Yankees pitching staff, and that's always frustrating to watch. Hopefully the Yankees can get to him on Saturday. And then in the finale, which is a 105 game, a 110 game, so no ESPN, thank goodness, and I don't believe that Saturday's game is a Fox game either. So, hallelujah? Let me double check the Saturday game. It's not. See, it's funny how the series in New York, there were three national games out of four, and this series, there are no national games, so... I mean, everyone around the country will be very happy about that because people are sick and tired of always seeing the Red Sox and Yankees on TV. And you know what? I don't blame you. Anyway, so Sunday start, 110, Domingo Germán against, Martin Perez. Germán is 4-5 with a 4.71 ERA. Perez is 7-6 with a 4.16 ERA. That's over 88 and two-third innings. He has 74 strikeouts. That's over 19 games. Let's see. His last game was against the Yankees on the 18th. He pitched four innings, gave up three runs on five hits, one walk, five strikeouts, picked up the loss. Germán, I don't know what's going on with my throat right now. I apologize. His last game was against Philly. He pitched against Nola the other night and didn't do as badly as he did the previous time against Philly. That's always a good thing. Four innings, two runs, three hits, three walks, five strikeouts. The one problem for Germán has been home runs this season. And as I mentioned on yesterday's show, there was a stat that he hasn't given up a home run on his curveball yet. And I joked that because I mentioned that, he probably will. So look for that on Sunday if it happens. And obviously you can blame me if it happens. Because as everyone knows, I have the power to control what is happening in Yankee games. Yes, that's sarcasm. Then after this four-game series is done with the Red Sox, the Yankees have a well-deserved day off on Monday, and then they head to Tropicana Field to face the Rays for three games. I was going to try and predict how the Yankees would do this weekend, but I had no idea how they were going to do last weekend either. And I couldn't have predicted, well, one, I couldn't have predicted that half the team would be battling COVID and that a game would be canceled to make it a three-game series instead of a four. So I kind of don't want to even try, but the Yankees need to win at least three out of four in order to make some noise in the AL East. Otherwise, they're screwed. So they need to win three out of four. They win two out of four, it's not terrible, but they can't do any less than that. So to recap, the Yankees beat the Phillies in an annoying game, but they won in, you know, fun fashion with a walk-off in the bottom of the 10th. The kids are contributing, which is kind of putting a fire under the veterans' butts, which is nice to see. Gleyber Torres is lifting the ball again and hitting home runs. That's always good to see. Yankees are starting a four-game series in Fenway tonight. I will have the recap of tonight's game on tomorrow's show, but for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.